You turn with me to your Bibles to Romans 12, verses 1 through 5, our foundational scripture that we opened with last week. This is part 2 of 2 parts on the message that I opened last week that is the word for this year. And for those of you who were not here last week, you can catch that message on our website because you missed the first part of this. Which the first part, I was reviewing the words that I had gotten for last year. And those three words were visitation, reckoning, and habitation. God had put on my heart I needed to review because those words were going to carry through into this year and maybe through this year. But then he gave me the word renewal as a word for this year and to carry into the following year. So we have looked at visitation and reckoning, and we are going to pick up today where we left off and look at habitation and then go into our message on reckoning. So Romans 12, 1 through 5. And this scripture relates to the word habitate, or the word renewal, I should say. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Let's pray together. Father, we just pray your blessing on this time together. We pray your blessing on your word, that, Lord, you would watch over your word to perform it in us today. Lord, I pray that you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words you have ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory. And your glory alone, in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we looked at the word visitation. We explored that. We reviewed what I had actually spoken a year ago. And then we looked at the word reckoning. And as I just said a few moments ago, now we come to the third word from last year in review. And it is habitation. God gave me those three words for this past year. Didn't know when I preached it a year ago that those words were going to carry into 2022, but God made that clear to me. So here we go. Habitation. Webster's New World Dictionary says about habitation that it is the act of inhabiting or occupying. Secondly, it says a place in which to live, a dwelling, or a home. So when we think about God inhabiting his habitation, then he is inhabiting our lives. He's taking up residence. Okay? He's not visiting and then going on his way. Like friendships. Okay? We have friendships and we have friends over and we have a good time, but then they go on their way. That's not a habitation. A habitation is when they make a home with you. Now, maybe many of you got friends that you really love, but you don't want them living with you. I'm just saying. You know, I mean, I love you, but you need to go home now. It's not like that with Jesus. Jesus comes in and makes a home with us. He indwells us. That's what makes our faith separate. That's one of the things that makes our faith separate from all of the other religions. First of all, we have a God who died for us instead of us for him. We die to self unto him, but we don't die for him. He died for us. He did that for us. Also, then the next thing is, we have the only God that was in a tomb for a short time. He didn't inhabit it. He was there for 3 days and rose again, like he said. So what we have going for us is an empty tomb. He didn't inhabit that tomb for an extended time or forever. All right? And then, of course, him coming into our life to dwell in us. No other religion has that. We have a God who indwells us and empowers us through his Holy Spirit, which indwells us, to fulfill what the Word of God requires. It'd be a really bad joke if God called us in his Word to do the things that he's called us to do and didn't empower us to do it. But he did empower us to do it. Every one of us that is born again today has the habitation of the Holy Spirit in us. Okay? And then through that, he empowers us to live out the life that he has designed for us to live. Now, as we think about all that, let's turn then to Revelation 3, verses 19 through 22. Revelation 3, verses 19 through 22. It says, and I read, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Notice in verse 20, you know, it's Jesus speaking, okay? If you have a red letter version of the Bible, this is red. All right? These are Jesus' words. And he says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock." You see, our Lord and Savior is a gentleman. It doesn't say, "I stand at the door huffing and puffing like the wolf in the children's stories that we've talked about, and I'm going to blow your door down." That's not the kind of God we serve. Our God is a gentleman. So it requires us inviting him in to inhabit our lives. Are you with me? That's a big difference from a lot of ideas that people have about God. He's a gentleman. "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock." He don't knock the door down. He says, "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door." This is talking about the door of our heart, guys. This is talking about the doorway to our life. He knocks at the door that he might come in and inhabit us. Not just come and go. Our problem is, too many people have a God-in-the-box faith. See, I've lived that. Before I truly got born again, I was a real idiot a lot. Just, you know? My sister's here, I shouldn't even say that. That's the only thing I've said yet that she got an agreement on. I got an amen, though. So I was. I was an idiot. But just in case God was real, I wasn't convinced. down off the shelf and let them out of the box. And oh, God, and I make, maybe you can relate to this. I make all kinds of promises. Oh, if you get me out of this one, God, if you're really there, I'll live for you. Well, time would go by, and the danger was gone, and I was done with God, just in case. And I'd tell him, get back in the box, and I'd put the lid on and put him back up on the shelf. Can anybody relate?
Yeah.
Can anybody relate to that?
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I would then say, by the way, don't call me, I'll call you.
Yeah.
Well, call me, I'll call you. When I'm in trouble again, and that's what I call the God in the box faith, which is no faith at all. I didn't even know if I believed in God. It was a just-in-case thing. I didn't know who else that was going to get me out of it, you know? He says, I'll come in, and I'll eat with him, and he with me. In this culture 2,000 years ago, having a meal together, having people over, was the highest form of fellowship in that day. That was it. So you got to understand the symbolism, what Jesus was saying. I'll come in and I'll sup with you and you with me. That's what it says in the King James Book. It just means I'll eat with you. But he'll come in and he'll eat with us. In other words, I will have intimate fellowship with you. So that's what we see when we see habitation as a personal level, on a personal level. Also, he inhabits the earth. God is omnipresent. Yes? What does that mean? It means he is everywhere at all times. Now that's hard for us because we are finite to get our minds around. But he is infinite.
Yes.
Alright? So he is everywhere all the time. Now, I got one that makes people's eyes narrow sometimes when I say it. So then if he's everywhere at once, is God in hell?
Yeah.
Yes, he is. But the people that are there don't know it. Okay? So God inhabits the earth. But we don't realize it a lot of the time. Many times, we don't realize it. See, we don't realize things until God gives us a revelation. I've had visions once in a while. Okay? Over the years, 39 years I've been walking with Jesus, I've had visions once in a while. I don't have them all the time, by any means. But over the years, I've had visions. Well, one of the times, God showed me an angel standing at my doorway, out right at attention, outside the doorway of the office, the pastor's office, in the church I pastored in Comanche years ago. Was going through a very hard time. There were young people that were killing themselves left and right. There were suicides. I was going through a very hard time. Felt very inadequate ministering in that situation. Can you feel me? And I was just weeping before the Lord, sitting at my desk, saying, God, you gotta help me because I want to do what's right. And sometimes I don't even know what to say to people. So I need your help. And there was demonic activity going on. It was awful. Well, I opened my eyes from being at my desk, and I looked up, and the Lord opened my eyes. I saw my guardian angel standing at attention outside the doorway. Now, I didn't even see his head because he was taller than the doorway. And you expect when you see an angel to see somebody that's all in glistening white. Well, he wasn't. My guardian angel was tattered. It was dirty. It had filth. He looked like he'd been in a war because he had been in a war. And I could see the glistening of a sword coming up this side, up to as high as I could see. I could see a glistening of a sword. Okay, now I told you that. Now let's think about another account of something pretty powerful in the Bible, and it's the account of Elisha and Gehazi, his servant. And Gehazi was pretty shook up and went to Elisha and said, "Elisha, Elisha, we're going to perish. There's armies all around us." And Elisha said, "Lord, open Gehazi's eyes so he can see." And God opened Gehazi's eyes, and he saw the army of the Lord surrounding the ones that were surrounding them. Now let me ask you something. When I saw my guardian angel and God gave me, opened my eyes to see, what he actually did was open my eyes to see into the spirit realm. You with me? That's what he did. Nothing more, nothing less. Now let me ask you something. Do you think that angel is always there, or did you think it was just for that moment when God let me see? Yeah, now you're feeling me. Yeah. What about Gehazi? Do you think the Lord's army was always there, or did he just do that to encourage Gehazi? He was there. He was there. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about habitation. We might not always see, and as a matter of fact, most of the time, we're not going to see into the spirit realm. If we could always see in the spirit realm, things would definitely be different in our attitudes. But God calls us to walk by faith and not by sight. Is that not true? Okay. So, I hope you got something out of that. That analogy works for me. I like things simple. I also had God open my eyes and would see angels stationed on the rampart a couple of times in services where I have seen angels in our service. Same question. Are they always there? And just for that time I saw it. Always there. They're always there. My little great-grandson down here, I don't know how many of you saw him, but he'll stare up in the corner. I don't know what the little guy's seeing. He might be seeing in the spirit realm. I don't know, but he's always there. I don't know. I don't know if maybe he's seeing in the spirit realm. I have no idea. But I know I love it when a little guy that age, only a few months old, is praising Jesus. Habitation. All right, I gotta move on, or we'll have to have a third part. Now, we are to the word renewal, which is the word that God had given me for this year. Well, sticking with our pattern, I looked and saw what the Webster's New World Dictionary had to say about the word renewal. And here's what I found. It had a lot to say about it. It said to make new, or as if new again, make young, fresh, or strong again. I'll take some of that. Bringing back into good condition. That's the first thing it has to say in the Webster's New World Dictionary. Second, it says to give new spiritual strength to. Now this isn't a Bible dictionary. This is a Webster's dictionary. Alright? And it says to give new spiritual strength to. With renewal. Right? You getting it? It's going to even get better. Third, it says, to cause to exist again, reestablish, revive. I did not know. Somebody's going to have a tough time downstairs, I think. Oh. Okay. All right, now you can hear me. To cause to exist again, reestablish, revive. We'll take some of that too, right? Fourth, to begin again, to take up again, to resume. That's what it says about fourth. Fifth, to go over again, say again, or repeat. Repeat. What did I tell you this week and what did I tell you last week about God impressing on me that I needed to repeat the message I preached a year ago? I about tipped over out of my chair, sitting in my desk chair at my computer, when I looked this up and read that in my Webster's Dictionary. I was like, wow! I got a confirmation of what I was supposed to do in reviewing that whole word from last year, a year ago, within the Webster's Dictionary behind the word that he gave me for this year. I don't know how you... That's confirmation, guys. I about tipped right out of my chair. I was like, my goodness. There it is. Thank you, Jesus. And sixth, and last one, says to replace as by a fresh supply of, to refill with a fresh supply. Now I want you to think about all those things that it has to say about this word that I just told you. To reestablish, to revive, to take up again, to resume, to repeat, to say again, to replace with a fresh supply of, to refill with a fresh supply. Glory, hallelujah. There is a lot in that word, renewal, that I had no idea until I went to Webster and looked what he had to say about it. I believe it was a God thing. How about you? So, with that understanding from Webster, let's look at what the Word has to say about renewal. And the first scripture comes from our foundational scripture in Romans 12. I want to look at verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We all need our minds renewed. Every one of us needs our mind renewed. And that happens through the Holy Spirit, through the habitation of the Holy Spirit. Our mind gets renewed as we are in the process of sanctification. Sanctification happens the whole time that we are alive after we have been born again. From the moment we are born again, sanctification starts happening in our lives. And that happens until our life ends, whether it's through Jesus returning for us in the rapture or whether it's through death. And when our life ends on this earth, then sanctification ends, but not until. We are all in the process. Man, I got a real downer for you. If you think you've arrived, you got it wrong. You haven't arrived yet. You don't have it all figured out. You're not perfect, I guarantee you. We are all flawed, according to Romans 3:23, which says, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. Yes. So we need the renewing of our minds. What would happen if we prayed for the renewing of people's minds that are in power and they are evil right now? Ask the Lord, first of all, to renew their minds, and then follow it up with, Lord, you know, Lord God, that every heart, and you know who will come to you and who won't. You know the beginning from the end and everything in between. If they will not turn to you and are going to continue to do evil, take them out.
That's right.
Take them out. Replace them, Father God, with people that will serve your will.
That's right.
Now, there's people that would say, well, Pastor, that's a mean prayer. Well, I'm done playing games. I'll tell you what, man, I'm sick of it. When they start trying to take away our kids, and I got to be careful here because I'm getting down a bunny trail. When they start indoctrinating our children in the schools, and they happen, we need to, as believers, say absolutely not, and literally, hell no, to critical race theory. Because it will destroy our culture and our nation. So we got to take stands. So, renewing of your mind, we've got to move on. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. And it says, therefore we do not lose heart. Therefore we do not lose heart. Have you been tempted to lose heart? I mean, it's been tough.
Yes.
Be honest.
Yes.
Have you been tempted to lose heart?
Yes.
Here it is, guys. Right here in God's Word. There's an answer for everything in God's Word. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. That's that process of sanctification. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Got quite a bit in there about what I was talking about earlier with myself and with Gehazi and that whole thing. Here's some more. About that, all right? Inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. That's the process of sanctification that's being renewed in our mind. Though outwardly, we are wasting away. You understand that from the time we are born, we have begun the process of this old tent dying. Do you realize that? From the time we are born, the process of dying begins. That makes people real sober. But it's true. It's true. That's why it says in this scripture, though outwardly we are wasting away. Because every day that goes by, we're wasting away. I'm starting to get old enough that I'm starting to recognize this. You know, it's becoming real clear to me, okay? Because I'm getting older. Thought I'd get an amen from one of you older folk here. I'm kind of hanging out there. I'm waiting. Can I get some help preaching? Colossians 3:9-10. See, the Word of God has a lot to say about renewal. More than I realized until God gave me the word renewal. Start studying. It's like, wow. I didn't think about it, and it's had all this to say. Colossians 3, 9 and 10 says, "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." So we get renewed in knowledge, knowledge that comes from God. Now it says in the Word of God that knowledge puffs up. Maybe, have you read that? Raise your hand if you've read that. It says in the Word of God, knowledge puffs up. But that's not to say knowledge is bad. Knowledge is only bad if it makes a person prideful about the knowledge that they have. Now do you get it? Okay, so knowledge is good, but wisdom is even better, because wisdom is the ability to accurately apply the knowledge that we have. That's what wisdom is. Okay? So, knowledge without wisdom puffs up, because without the wisdom to apply the knowledge that we possess, we get puffed up. You with me? So, being renewed in knowledge, got to keep moving. Titus 3, 4 and 5. Titus 3, verses 4 and 5. Hey, we're learning something here today together, right? Titus 3, 4 and 5 says, "But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit." See, there it is again, guys. We are being renewed by the Holy Spirit from the inside out, even though from the outside in, we're dying. Isaiah 57, verse 10. Got to get a few in the Old Testament. I am not one of those preachers that just preaches out of the New Testament, because we're New Testament believers. God gave us 66 books in the Bible, and they're all important. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Isaiah 57:10 says, "You were worried by all your way, or wearied by all your ways, but you would not say, 'It is hopeless.' You found renewal of your strength, and so you did not faint." Don't you find it interesting that the prophet Isaiah says, "You were wearied in all your ways, but you would not say, 'It is hopeless.'" Guys, it is never hopeless. So do not let that come out of your mouth.
That's right.
When you let hopeless words come out of your mouth, they're word curses.
That's right.
Find it interesting that the prophet said, "But you would not say, 'It is hopeless.'" And look what happened as a result of that. "You found renewal of your strength, and so you did not faint." See, God has provided the path. He has provided the way. He has given us everything in the Word of God that we need to be able to walk out life successfully with Him. He has provided it for us. What we got to do is study the Word of God, get the Word of God in us, and operate in the flow of the Holy Spirit the way He has designed for us to operate. And then things happen for us. It doesn't mean you're not still going to have troubles, but it means you're going to come through those troubles victorious. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. I've got one where you probably haven't been for a while. Lamentations. We'll lament for a moment. How about Lamentations 5, verses 19 through 21. Lamentations 5, verses 19 through 21. It says, "You, O Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation. Why do you always forget us? Why do you forsake us so long? Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may return, renew our days of old." Renew our days of old. That's quite a lament, isn't it? So I'd say it's not wrong to say, "Lord, renew us. Renew this situation." And Psalm 51, verse 10. Sword drills today. Bet you didn't know you was going to be doing that today. I love to confirm the Word of God with the Word of God. You won't get yourself in trouble theologically doing that. Our psalmist says in Psalm 51, verse 10, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Oh, if we could all possess a steadfast spirit. Because see, steadfast means you are rooted, you are planted. You position yourself like a lineman on a football team. They position themselves in the best way they can to not be moved, to not give up any ground. I like that image. Create, renew a steadfast spirit within me. Guys, if we would pray that prayer and let God come into our lives in His fullness and walk out life with Him, we will see things change, guys. He gives us hope. He gives us hope. The last scripture I want to look at, boy, I'm doing pretty good. It's almost straight up. 11. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 6. Final scripture. God has given us a picture, a word picture from His Word of what renewal is and what it looks like. I'm excited about the fact that He gave me for 2022 and beyond the word renewal. I have expectant faith. We're going to see good things, guys.
Amen.
We're going to see good things again. So take up hope. And here's the hope. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 6, beginning to read. "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed.
Amen.
That's it. That's the Word of God. It's not, thus says Pastor Wayne. That's the Word of God. And if we would just learn how to stand on the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to take residence in our lives, we'll be victorious. We'll be overcomers. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together. Are you excited for this year now?
Yes.
Me too. Let's stand together in faith. Father, I just lift up this body of believers. I pray a blessing over them. Father, we've heard your word, and I just pray, Lord, that you would watch over this word to perform it in us and through us. I pray, Lord God, that you, through your mighty power, will give us recall of the scriptures. And that, Lord, you will give us recall of this message so that we will walk out this year with expectant faith and hope, Lord God. We give you praise for speaking to us, for speaking through us. And, Lord, we submit to you. And as we leave this place, we pray that you will go before us, that you will direct our path, and use us for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. We love you.